This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. The New Hampshire Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit this week against Purdue Pharmaceuticals, maker of the popular opioid OxyContin. According to the AG, Purdue peddled its drugs to prescribers using deceptive marketing techniques that understated the risks of addiction and overstated the drug's benefits. The AG's office completed an investigation into Purdue's marketing and is now challenging the science behind that marketing. During the investigation, the AG consulted with Dr. Gilbert Fanciullo, a retired pain specialist at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. Dr. Fanciullo joins us now. Welcome, Dr. Fanciullo.
It's my pleasure.
Do these drugs, in your view, when used appropriately, improve the quality of life for people with chronic pain, as Purdue alleges?
If you look at the current data, there's two things to consider. One is, do they relieve pain, just like you asked? And the second is, what's the risk associated with their use? And so in answer to your first question, I would say that in general, there's no evidence to support the fact that these drugs relieve pain long term. I would only say that from a 30-year career in pain medicine, that I think I do have some patients that benefit from the long-term use of these drugs. But as a general rule, they do not. And then if you balance that against the risk, you know, the Center for Disease Control published an article, I guess it must be about a year ago now, or not quite, where they described the risks associated with the use of opioids. And anybody that's on 50 milligrams of morphine per day has twice the risk of dying compared to a person who does not take that 50 milligrams of morphine a day. And we really don't know why people die. We don't know if they're overdosing, or we don't know if some of these drugs, such as methadone, for example, can cause arrhythmias. We really don't know why the risk of death is that much higher, but it is.
Sales reps from Purdue were allegedly quite persistent in calling doctors in New Hampshire to persuade them to try to prescribe things like OxyContin, according to the AG's office. So when you were practicing at Dartmouth-Hitchcock and you received these sales calls, what was the encounter like?
So first of all, between 5 and 10 years ago, Dartmouth basically decided that that these encounters biased physicians' prescribing habits and their care of patients in an unscientific way, and banned the drug reps from coming into Dartmouth to speak to physicians. But prior to that, what those encounters would be like, a person would come in who is a very charismatic person and would pull out articles from his or her briefcase and say, look, we have these articles that show that OxyContin is very effective for the treatment of chronic pain and completely safe, no risk at all, no risk of addiction, and here are the articles to prove it. And they might give you something else. They might give you a clock or, you know, that says OxyContin on it, or a pen, you know, that says OxyContin on it, or they might, you know, invite you to speak at one of their conferences for money, and they would take you out to dinner.
Purdue allegedly told some prescribers that patients who appeared to be abusing OxyContin rather than just seeking it for legitimate medical needs were not suffering from addiction, but something called pseudo-addiction. Is there any medical basis for that term, pseudo-addiction?
I think that there probably is, not to the extent that it was sort of pushed 10 years ago or however long ago that was. So what that means is, let's say you break your arm. And you go to the doctors, and the doctor says, okay, you can have one of these Percocet tablets twice a day. But the Percocet tablets only last 4 hours. They don't last 12 hours. You have a broken arm. So you're given a drug that relieves the pain but only lasts for 4 hours. And so you'll overuse that drug. And so that's what we typically call pseudo-addiction. Now, you know, there were sort of axioms, you know, that went around 10 years ago and 20 years ago when Purdue was really pushing these drugs. One was that what's the right amount of opioid that you prescribe to somebody? There is no right amount. There is no ceiling on the dose. You know, people need whatever they need, and you should just prescribe whatever dose they need. And so that was a terrible problem. And the other problem was that we didn't recommend urine toxicology testing. So this patient with pseudo addiction, the guy with the broken arm, let's say this is a chronic back pain patient, a guy that has chronic low back pain, and you prescribe Percocet, you know, 5 milligrams twice a day, and he comes into your office 10 days later and has used up the whole month's worth of drugs in 10 days and claims that he did that because his back hurts. Now, you check a urine toxicology specimen on him, and let's say his urine then is negative for oxycodone. There's no oxycodone in it. That means he either took all the oxycodone in the first couple of days, or he's selling his oxycodone. Or, and, you know, if he truly suffers from the disease addiction, you might find morphine in there. You might find, you know, heroin in there, or cocaine in there, or some other drug in there. It goes back to patient self-report is unreliable when using drugs that can cause the disease addiction.
Well, Dr. Gilbert Fanciullo, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.